We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your host, John Halpin.
Hey folks, it's John Halpin. Welcome to the Tuesday, November 13th edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Jake Letarski is with me today, like every Tuesday, and it's time to check your waiver wire slash free agent pool. But first, let's go Giants. How about that?
Yeah, it was quite the night for San Francisco. I mean, Eli was serviceable. Odell Beckham showed he can still carry people on a fantasy team. A little off night for Saquon Barkley fantasy-wise, but, I mean, overall, Giants surprised a lot of people. Let's get real. They're probably not going to the playoffs. I'll say they're definitely not going to the playoffs, but it was nice to see those guys. I mean, you really think they're going to win out all the way?
No, I don't. I'm kidding.
That's pretty much what's got to happen here.
Yeah. So, Saquon, it's funny how we're saying – I agree with you about Saquon. Mm-hmm. Because he only got 100 yards from scrimmage and no touchdowns.
Yeah, so just 10 points. Barely got double digits this week.
14 PPR points, and you're going, oh, really? That's it? Come on, man. Yeah, that's just
that's
where
fair.
He is right
Odell
now.
Was the star of the offense this week, though. So
he was.
That'll happen from time to time.
You know, I there's someone I liked last week, and they didn't start throwing to him much till late in the game, Evan Engram.
Maybe he's starting to come back around.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a decent second half from Evan Engram. They threw to him a couple times on the last drive. 5 targets, 4 for 46 overall. George Kittle just got peppered with targets last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's going to continue to happen. I mean, this tight end situation is so bleak for the most part this year with Gronk being hurt and Kelce and Ertz being really your only reliable guys and making it real tough to find tight ends. But those of you who did pick up George Kittle off the waiver wire earlier on, that's potentially a league-winning move if you didn't address the position on draft day.
Right. I mean, he is, I think, pretty clearly – after Kelce and Ertz and Kelce, Ertz 1, Kelce 2, Kittle's next, right?
Yeah, for me, Ertz, Kelce, it depends a little bit on PPR. I mean, I know that's tough to say after Ertz's monster week in both weeks last time. But, yeah, I can see where you're going with that. I'm going to see where we have them ranked on the website. I think it's going to be pretty similar to how we shook it out here. We even have Ertz number one in standard. We go Ertz, Kelce, Little, Gronk, Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton, Jack Doyle, O.J. Howard is where we have it right now as of, for the rest of the season. So I think we're pretty spot on with that.
All right. And on the other side of the ball in this game, so Mostert got hurt the previous week, and then we wondered if Alfred Morris would be a factor. He kind of wasn't at 9 carries. Matt Breida was strong. He's a nice player. I really like him. Yeah.
I mean, 9 carries is kind of a factor by most standards, but when you only average 2.1 a carry, that's a problem. We're pretty much back to Breida being the only the only back that is worth owning in the San Francisco backfield. I mean, I guess there's a spot for Morris in a super deep league, but Breida was really the fantasy star of the night as far as, you know, if you played those single game contests at all, or if you started him. I mean, touchdown rushing, touchdown receiving, 132 yards from scrimmage, 3 receptions. I mean, guy did it all.
So I have an MFL that I play with my friends. Mm-hmm. And I've been struggling this year. Listen to this backfield that I couldn't use this week. All of, anyway. Mm-hmm. David, I can only use 3. David Johnson, Aaron Jones, Matt Breida, Kerryon Johnson, James Conner.
Ooh, yeah. That's one where where you can't make trades in format?
You can't make trades in things. It's a best ball.
Oh, it's one of the best balls. Okay.
So basically, Kerryon Johnson with 26.9 and Conner, who was just okay, wind up not counting for the week, which is incredible because they were just that my running backs just all went bananas at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we finally freed Aaron Jones, and that was a cool thing. We have him ranked number 10 rest of season on the website, and I fully agree with that. He's going to be pretty much a fixture in your starting lineup unless you've got a backfield like the one John just described.
Yep. All right. Let's move on, everybody, to our waiver wire. Twitter, first of all, he's at JakeSki52. I'm at JHopin37. The main account is at RotoWire. You can also get player updates at RotoWire NFL. All the recommendations we make, they're based on 12-team standards, but we'll talk about variations. Budgets, if we talk about a fab bid, it's based on 100. And the percentage, the ownership percentage, we talk about Yahoo, we talk about ESPN, and our threshold is usually 40% owner less. We talk about people not far above that just for some context because everybody's league is different. First, the buys, Bills, Browns, Dolphins, Pats, Jets, Niners, a bunch of bad quarterbacks, including Tom Brady.
Yeah, basically. I mean, Tom Brady's the only one that, including Tom Brady, I like it. I can hardly chuckle through that. Tom Brady's really the only regular starter in here. So chances are you're starting quarterbacks not on a bye this week. So I didn't go really heavy on the streamers this week, but maybe there's a couple we can discuss.
Folks, I don't think Tom Brady is a bad quarterback, so don't yell at me.
Yeah, no, okay? No hate on Twitter for it. We just like to throw shade at him.
He is just struggling. His fantasy struggles have been real. I'm looking at it on a per-game basis. I've got him at QB 17.
What does this teach us, John? You never use an early pick on a quarterback.
Never.
Who are the top two? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, great quarterbacks. No doubt about that. Right. They're going to have some awesome, awesome games the rest of this year. When you had to use a second, third round pick on those guys, as opposed to waiting around and striking gold with the Mahomes, picking up Mitch Trubisky later on. I mean, there's so many good quarterbacks to be had later on that are marginally less good than some of these elite guys who don't even always perform to their height. So just taking a second to discuss that draft strategy.
Top 5 per game fantasy quarterbacks: Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ben Roethlisberger, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I got Mitchell Trubisky for nothing in a 14-team stake league auction. I got Roethlisberger for $1, and that seems to be working out. That's part of the reason that, Roethlisberger is $1 in a 12-team, and I'm definitely starting him. So, and Mahomes was like a 6th, 7th round, probably even later than that.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was late. He was 13th, 14th quarterback off the board.
Ooh, so. See? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lesson to be learned here, guys.
All right, let's get to the quarterbacks this week. Last week we talked about Nick Mullins. He didn't help you fantasy wise. If you did a plug and play, I didn't kill you, but he didn't help much. 250 with a touchdown and 2 picks. You know, I mean, if you were asking for more than that, you're being greedy, right?
Mm-hmm. He gets you double digits barely, depending on your league's interception rules. If you take 1-2, I saw a league that I did for a friend auction that takes 4 away for interceptions. So in that case, not so hot. But wow. It's only a 10-team league, and they want to kind of reward that. I get what they're trying to do. I still think it's stupid. But anyway, very, very average for Nick Mullins, and this is going to be plug and plays at best moving forward. And he's on a bye next week, so obviously cut him if you were rostering him.
Okay, so the big name this week that everybody is talking about is Lamar Jackson. The news out of Baltimore, they hope, I'm going to use the exact quote here, John Harbaugh is, quote, hopeful that Joe Flacco is able to play this week. He's got a hip injury. There have been reports that he might get surgery. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. Harbaugh also did not commit as to who would play if Flacco can't go. The candidates would be Lamar Jackson or Robert Griffin III. I would think that Wednesday is going to bring a lot of clarity to this situation. Unfortunately, you probably have to make your free agent waiver wire decision on Tuesday night. What's your play, Jake?
Well, I'll say that Lamar Jackson is probably the play here, and you can't count on it for more than a spec ad. And if the thing is, if you're in a two quarterback league, there's a decent chance he's already owned, because we always put, you know, Jeff does his weekly rankings and Lamar Jackson is always the top non-starter in the quarterback rankings every week, kind of like that Taysom Hill type. So I know a lot of two quarterback leagues where he sometimes gets started when you have six teams on bye, for example. But nonetheless, if you're in a standard format and you're really just itching for that quarterback, you know, maybe you lost Jimmy G and you haven't quite caught on with anybody yet and have been streaming, it plays as a spec ad, and I'd could see bidding anywhere from $5 to $15. Like, if this is your missing piece, maybe more than that. Now, he's going to have his bumps in the road. There's no doubt about that. Now, this is all assuming that he starts for Flacco. Flacco's injured, and RG3 is apparently a candidate to start, but I don't really take that seriously. I mean, come on, let's kind of get real here. Maybe. I mean, maybe they use RG3 as the starter and keep Lamar Jackson in the gadget play role, but I don't know. You got to turn him loose sooner or later here, and I think Lamar Jackson would be the play. Of course, it's the running ability, and that raises your fantasy ceiling tremendously. I mean, Mitch Trubisky had a 35-point fantasy day last week because he was able to tack on a rushing touchdown, and Lamar Jackson's plenty capable of that. Not going to be looking forward to like a ton of passing yards being racked up, but it's definitely an area he can improve in. And I don't know, he's got some weapons. And then I start to think about the ancillary options, too, with Lamar Jackson, maybe a downgrade, probably a downgrade for receivers like John Brown. I think an upgrade for someone like Alex Collins, just because of the zone read plays and the open running lanes that could happen when you have a quarterback that is that much of a threat. So I would say Jackson would be the ad this week, but I still clarify it as a spec ad because we don't know what's going to happen until tomorrow.
Okay. I play in a league where I had $1,000 budget. I had $433 remaining. I spent $250 on Lamar Jackson. And here's why. This was last week when I heard the news. This was on, you know, it's a bid every day thing. And the reason is, I was looking at it and I'm going, there's, you know, we're at week 10 or 11. What am I holding for? You know what I mean? I get wanting to conserve, and I get Lamar Jackson is a spec ad. Like, if we knew he was starting, it could be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'd probably be putting all of that 430 on him if you knew he was starting and that was your missing piece.
But what am I waiting? I mean, obviously, there could be some things I'm waiting for, but at this point, is a running back going to emerge? Like, you know, could I want to spend it on, what is it, Chase Edmonds if Johnson gets hurt, you know? I mean, there's possibilities, but you're hoping for injury there. And Lamar Jackson could be, I mean, the opponents coming down the stretch are soft for them. I mean, he doesn't seem to throw well right now.
Yep.
Next five games, Bengals, Raiders, at Falcons, at Chiefs, home for Tampa Bay. That is a cupcake stretch right there.
Yeah. Side note, I'm really stoked about my Alex Collins share. That's going to be nice.
It should be. That's right.
They're going to let him loose. If your trade deadline hasn't passed yet, that's an exceptional buy low candidate. Wow. The schedule hadn't been brought into my attention even until recently. And this is pretty amazing.
So, I mean, I guess I get that you could hold for a potential injury, but other than that, you're not holding for much of anything. Like, I think Lamar Jackson, the upside, the running upside is so enormous with him.
Mm-hmm. You cannot take it with you. So I definitely see where you're coming from here. And that's a very real thing.
By the way, he's 8% owned on Yahoo right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
go get yourself some.
Yeah, let me see what he is on ESPN. Actually, on ESPN too. His ownership 6.7 on ESPN. So folks,
and I bet you that's because of two quarterback leagues primarily.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's time. I really do. I mean, just go get it. Mm-hmm. And I think he probably got drafted and got dropped in a lot of leagues.
No doubt about that.
People do it all the time. Like, oh, I'm going to stash this guy. And then you get 6 weeks in, you go, I'm not waiting for this guy anymore.
Yep. Now I got buys, and what am I going to do now, you know?
Right.
So, and he is a guy that got a lot of hype from not just like some of our guys on the site, but I mean, just industry-wide, people were buying what he was able to do.
Yeah.
And if you had any belief in that back then, now is the time to act on that.
Yep. All right. Next up, let's see. Stream-wise, like you mentioned earlier, Brady's the only good quarterback on a bye, unless you consider Baker a good one. I've got a few for you.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Mariota's starting to play. The three guys, the first two guys I have here, Mariota's 31% owned. Bortles is 22%. So Mariota's playing at Indy, kind of a high over-under. Their projected point total is something around 23, which is not high. It's just okay.
I've got 48 as the total on that game. And,
right.
And Mariota's someone whose momentum has definitely been taking him forward lately as he continues to get healthy.
Yeah, and he runs. Another one. He runs for 20, 25, 30 yards a game. Same with Bortles.
Yes.
I'm okay. I mean, Bortles, you know, it's funny to say it's the usual thing. Real life Bortles is different than fantasy Bortles. And yes, I know fantasy Bortles has terrible days. But for the season, like another one, I've got him at QB 18, which is not awful. He's right with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. And the total in that game this week is 47.5. So you're looking, of course, Jacksonville's underdogs to Pittsburgh. So they're 5.5-point home underdogs to Pittsburgh. That's very interesting to me.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, both those guys, I guess, are in play. I would agree with the order you listed them in as Mariota being probably the top guy, just because you ride that momentum early. Because I would guess by this time next week, I'll make this call now that his percent ownership is going to be above our threshold, and we won't be able to talk about him anymore.
Okay. The other one, Eli Manning against the Bucks. Any interest? The Bucks are bad. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I mean, that might be for me like maybe a GPP option. In daily, looking at him that way. I guess in a tough spot, you'd start him in season long. He would crack it. I'd probably put him ahead of Bortles just because I'll take him at home.
Okay, so my question is for you now. If Lamar Jackson is first, if Lamar Jackson starts, he's first for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about that.
If RG3 starts, where does he fit?
I would put him behind Mariota. I'd put him behind. I don't like the unknown factor, so I'd probably put him behind both Bortles and Eli.
Okay, so the strategy for Tuesday night is, I mean, I think you're trying to get Lamar Jackson if you have a space to put him. Mm-hmm. You're not throwing anyone overboard who could start this Sunday to get him because you don't know yet. But do you have any interest in? I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky with Lamar. I think I bid for him first among these guys, even with me not knowing if he's going to start.
Yeah. So this is what you'll do. You'll line it up and you'll do your quarterback order, cutting the same player every time. You put Lamar Jackson $15 first. Then after that, you stick Mariota $3-4, you know, Eli $1, Bortles $1, and RG3 $1 at the very bottom of that list, all dropping the same player. So it'll kind of run through your pecking order. And if you need a quarterback for this week, if you are a Tom Brady owner, let's just say, you'll probably get one of them doing it that way.
All right. Also, a quick note, Josh Allen should be ready to play after the bye. The Bills are off this week. Matt Barkley can go to the Hall of Fame after his performance against the Jets on Sunday. You ask me every week for drop candidates. I still think Stafford and Dalton they're expendable. Like, I'm not going out of my way to drop them, but they're expendable.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, when buys are essentially kind of going to be behind us very, very soon, you don't need much more than your starter if he's a reliable guy. You know, carrying two quarterbacks into the playoffs, I guess there's a degree of risk carrying only one quarterback because you're not really protected in case of injury, and then you're making those weird lists like I just described every week. But yeah, at the same time, you don't really need to be carrying two quarterbacks. Kind of hampers your ability and your roster flexibility, especially if there's no transaction fees or that type of thing.
All right, let's go to running backs. Last week, we talked about Ito. The Falcons fell on their faces a bit. Did Ito score a touchdown, though?
I don't think he did. I think that Tevin Coleman got the touches of note. Ito only carried four times for 11 yards. He did catch four passes for 15 yards, so a little bit of PPR solace.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with still rostering him for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't think the Falcons are going to fall on their face like this too often.
I agree.
And when they lead games, he's still going to be someone. When they're ahead in games, he'll probably be closer to a split with Coleman as opposed to what it was, you know, this week where they were trying to play catch up in this just kind of strange game.
All right. Interesting note, looking at Ito's upcoming schedule, next 3 weeks against the Cowboys, eighth against opposing fantasy running backs, Saints, who rank fourth, and the Ravens, who rank second. So not.
Don't you love those redesigned game logs on RotoWire?
I love them.
They're insane. Those guys did an amazing job with that. You can just look ahead and pick standard PPR, half PPR, and all in all the daily sites. It's just it's a thing of beauty.
And the other stuff, the advanced NFL stats stuff, where guys rank and whether they're above average or below average or whatever, it's really just they're awesome.
I mean, things like yards after contact that you used to have, and I mean, you know, positive run percentage, touches per game, all these kinds of things that you used to have to pick off from 5-6 different sources. We finally got it in one spot for you. So shameless plug there, but it's awesome. It's helpful.
Tremendous job, everybody. So with the buys, we don't have great options here. Two guys you wanted to mention. Derrick Henry is 48% owned. He's still probably sort of second fiddle behind Deion Lewis, but he really produced on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he had the 2-touchdown game Sunday, and the thing that actually stands out to me, he's up to 49% now since I typed that in last night. It was in the second half. It was in like the final 5-6 games that Derrick Henry really came on. And, you know, again, maybe it's just a gut feeling. Maybe I'm going too intangible based on this. But, I mean, if you remember, people were using as early as 5th, 6th round picks on him, sometimes earlier. I mean, I guess I saw him in the 4th in a couple ones. And there's a reason for that, because he finished so strong and people thought, well, Deion Lewis can't really take the job. And I guess he'll still be second fiddle to Deion Lewis. But that ownership percentage is a little too low for me. I was one of the unlucky people that drafted him. Still happened to be in first place in that league. I got around that. And of course, he sat on my bench this past week because I didn't see it coming. But I think there's a run coming here, and that ownership percentage is low enough that it was worth noting.
Okay. The next guy up, Chris Carson on the Seahawks. The other guy's on the Seahawks. So Chris Carson didn't play, was a game time decision, was held out on Sunday. He was limited at practice on Monday. But Pete Carroll says that Carson will be ready for Thursday night's game against the Packers. So,
Things. Yeah, I might have missed that when running this through last night.
Mike Davis is 52% owned. Rashad Penny is 16% owned on Yahoo. The snap share, Davis got 39, Penny got 27, but Penny ran very well on Sunday. However, Carson comes back and it's now a 3-man quagmire, which makes me say no, thank you.
Yeah, I know. You'll see a lot of industry folks all over Rashard Penny this week, just because he's someone that was touted quite a bit early on in the season. And then, now he finally has a 100-yard game. You should go pick him up. You know, when, of course, everyone thinks it's the Mike Davis week, it turns out to be the Rashard Penny week. Now we're going to have a 3-headed monster. So I guess these guys fall into spec ads at this point because, I mean, remember, Chris Carson, of course, was inactive this week. But the week before against the Chargers, he was active. And then after, how many snaps would we have? 10 offensive snaps. He re-injured his hip and had to sit the rest of the game. So at least we know there's some degree of re-injury risk here. So there, I mean, if you were carrying dead weight on your bench, maybe some of these guys are speculative and they're worth a mention. But the Carson being back news just really gums up the works for me enough to want to avoid this situation if I don't have dead weight on my bench.
It really does. I mean, as much as we want we've talked a lot about this season, that everybody sort of wants the Rashad Penny thing to happen. And the logic in the summer was, come on, they drafted. I don't care what they're saying about Chris Carson. Penny got drafted in the first round. There's a reason. And they wouldn't draft a guy in the first round to sit him behind Chris Carson. Well, they have. And I think they'll continue to. I mean, they might make it more, you know, keep it as some sort of committee. But I don't think that we've seen from the Seahawks, let's say, that Rashad Penny's pedigree doesn't really matter that much.
Yeah. Carroll seems, maybe that's the college coach in him, wants to reward the upperclassmen. But, you know, he seems to stick to Chris Carson as long as he's around, and that's okay for my stake league team, but not okay to all those penny spec ad owners.
All right. The other one I want to mention, Josh Adams has run well in limited duty in the last two games for the Eagles. And I hate trying to decipher a 3-man situation, but Doug Peterson said Monday that Adams is going to get more carries moving forward.
That makes things interesting for me, at least.
Yeah, he's 14% owned on Yahoo right now. I mean, he's got a tough matchup against the Saints this week. But I think this is he's another one. It's a spec. You're not going to start him this week if you get him.
Exactly. I mean, we just talked about the whole Seattle situation where we have three guys that are viable for carries. We think we know who the leader is going to be, but then, you know, injury and game flow is going to affect all of these on a week to week basis. I mean, Yeah, I could see Josh Adams, you know, the 6.7 yards of carries is nice and all, but I, like you said, I mean, if you're picking him up, I'm not really starting him. So I almost go more speculative with my ads if I have that dead weight on my roster, just because I know I'm not picking up and sticking in the starting lineup.
All right, who's your top three?
Top three, I mean, okay, I guess Derrick Henry can't really count. I mean, 48, 49%, that's kind of cheap. So I did have him number one, but and then I had Penny number two going into this. The whole Carson thing gums up the works significantly for me. But I don't know, I guess I'll say Henry, Penny, and then I threw on Malcolm Brown there just because of the ownership. And again, if you're looking for a spec ad, he's probably the best handcuff to own, I would say.
Okay. The other, speaking of handcuffs, you know, I guess the guys that I'm looking at here, I mean, Brown's one, Jalen Samuels is one, Chase Edmonds is one. Those are big ones. Those are the three biggest ones. Maybe Spencer Ware, if you're into that thing.
I put, you see, Spencer Ware made my list of guys that you want to watch, and I put Rod Smith on there too for Ezekiel Elliott. But the thing is we've been down this Rod Smith road last year when Zeke was on again, off again, suspended, and there wasn't a whole lot there. And you could argue that the offensive line being less healthy is not in as good of a situation as they were for Rod Smith last year. So Rod Smith's kind of a volume guy, but I almost think they would look for someone on the practice squad or the waiver wire to split carries with him. So maybe he doesn't quite fit into that conversation. Spencer Ware does. He even vultured that touchdown on Sunday.
He did. Drop candidates. You mentioned TJ Yeldon in your notes. I'm going to add Carlos Hyde on to me. Fournette got 29 touches. That's his backfield. These other guys are handcuffs now. This is not, hey, let's keep Fournette fresh by using Carlos Hyde sometimes. It's like, Carlos Hyde, take a seat and we'll tell you if we need you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, holding on to these guys is thinking, okay, maybe Fournette aggravates that hamstring injury at some point again. But I think that they took it pretty cautious and held him out longer than maybe they even needed to, just to be sure he doesn't aggravate that injury. So, yeah, those guys are on my drop list for sure.
All right. Other guys here. Smallwood, I think with the Adams news, Smallwood is kind of a, I mean, Corey Clement, you were kind of holding for different reasons, probably. That you might, maybe he catches the ball a little bit in some games, so we'll keep him.
Clement, I was holding because I didn't really see the Josh Adams situation coming to fruition. Smallwood, we know as soon as he makes the drop list, he's going to have like 80 yards receiving next week. He's always got that potential, but you're in a tough spot if you're counting on that and using him in your lineup.
I think another guy kind of high on the ownership scale, Eckler. I think it's time. I mean, unless you're basically, he's a handcuff. He's like the other guys now, he's a handcuff. He was a guy who was getting some time even with Melvin Gordon there, and now he's not. He's not getting the ball. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, on the handcuff list, he probably goes below Malcolm Brown. He's right there with the Edmonds and Spencer Ware, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. All right, wide receivers. Last week we talked Valdez Scantling. What do you go? 6 for 44, which is not. It wasn't terrible. Mm-hmm. Wasn't.
It was
great.
The Aaron Jones week in Green Bay, so they were able to run the ball a lot and be successful in that manner. Rodgers threw the ball 28 times still, and you know that's pretty much the low end of what we're going to see from them. But yeah, I mean, if Valdez Scantling is somehow out there, or if someone dropped him after he didn't have a great week for them, put him on your team, please.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When you're looking for a credit card, get one that wins awards. The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best of Awards winner for Best 0% Intro APR and Balance Transfer Credit Card. It provides a great way to pay for large purchases over time, as well as consolidating other card balances. And speaking of award winners, the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card is NerdWallet's 2021 Best Credit Card for dining out or ordering in. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. Get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. If you're into cash back or travel rewards, U.S. Bank has credit cards that feature those benefits too. Check out their full suite of credit cards at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Maurice Harris didn't have as good a week as the week before. He had about half the week he had the week before, but PPR, you know, 10 PPR points, not awful again. Josh Reynolds is the big one. Cooper Kupp's ACL out for the year. When Kupp was hurt earlier, Josh Reynolds was on the field all the time, but did not get many looks from Jared Goff. Why should we expect that things might be different?
Yeah, this is one of opportunity. Now, you're right. He didn't get a whole lot of looks from Jared Goff during that stretch. There was a four-game stretch where he was on the field for over 50 snaps a game. Most of those not so fantasy productive. Even had a negative week if it's a non-PPR format. But then week 8 against the Packers, he scored 2 touchdowns. So he's there. I mean, the Rams are a little weird with their targets behind Woods and Cooks now, who are obviously 1-2, because I believe each of their tight ends got a touchdown this week. Which was a little bit interesting, but I think they factor Reynolds into the game plan a little bit more, and he's going to be on the field, and that opportunity is where you start when you're looking to kind of add players.
Okay. I agree with you. I mean, a third receiver on the Rams, even though we have some reason to be skeptical, I think I'm in. I would like
a handful of offenses like that. They're one of them for sure.
Yep. Do you have Josh Doctson here again?
Dude, I can't help myself.
Heaney and I were joking yesterday. It was his joke, by the way, that you were going to talk about Josh Doctson today.
Dude, I have a serious problem. I don't know what it is, what I felt. Maybe there's some like flash of memory where I watched like one of his TCU games and was just like, wow, kind of like I was with Corey Davis. But I mean, the guy's got the pedigree. I hate that Alex Smith is throwing in the ball. That gives me a little bit of concern. I'd love this pick if Kirk Cousins were still throwing in the ball, for example. But I mean, what do we have here? 5 weeks in a row with 5 or more targets. Physically, he's awesome. Got that draft pedigree, and he scored a touchdown this past week. Tougher matchups ahead. I'll give him that. But, I mean, would you rather take a chance on Josh Doctson breaking out in the second half or go to one of these mediocre guys like a Dante Moncrief or a Zay Jones or an Anthony Miller or even like a Devontae Parker? I mean, I guess that's the decision that owners have to make.
I would rather take my shot at Josh Reynolds than Josh Doctson.
Yeah, I definitely rank Reynolds ahead of Doctson in terms of wide receiver rankings this year. Reynolds is, even though he hasn't been super productive outside of that one game, he's making a case for the top ad this week, especially with some of those running backs being very fringy with our threshold here this week. But yeah, Reynolds is up there. And then after that, it starts to get a little bit it gets a little bit tougher, but there were some decent stat lines from week 10 here that might be worth noting.
All right. By the way, I was going to bring up Jameson Crowder, who was a game time decision and then got downgraded to out. However, so the news on Jameson Crowder is got an ankle injury, is scheduled for an MRI this week and isn't expected to practice any sooner than Thursday. That's per NBC Sports Washington. And this is on his RotoWire player page.
I mean, why haven't they IR'd him by now? Yeah, that's the thing. He hasn't played since week 5.
This took a bad turn in the last couple of days with Jameson Crowder. So I was going to think that, well, hey, if he comes back, he eats into Doctson's work. But nope. So forget about him until further notice. The guy I'm surprised you didn't have hired. Like you mentioned Moncrief. You mentioned Zay Jones. I don't want to go there. I think the Jags are still too sketchy, even though they seem to have marginalized Keelan Cole. That's the guy who I think is out of the picture. I thought it was too crowded before. But Moncrief, still, the volume's not huge. He did get that touchdown. Zay Jones, I'm not going after a guy in that bad of an offense. Anthony Miller's the guy I want to talk about. They've been throwing downfield to him. He's last 4 games, targets 7-7-6-6. This week he had the big one. They're throwing downfield to him a decent amount. Who can you bear with me while I find a tweet from somebody? I love doing that. I always say, everybody hold, please, while I look for something on the computer and you sit and listen to dead air. It's really awesome.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about the Bears receiving situation. They got Allen Robinson back. That was big for them, and that's part of the reason why he wasn't like up top with some of those other guys for me when I made the list. But like we saw a couple weeks back that Anthony Miller's clearly overtaken Kevin White. They seem to have moved on from Kevin White, essentially. He's still, I would say, behind Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel on the depth chart, but I mean, like you're right, they are throwing downfield targets. You know, he has a decent amount of, we mentioned those advanced stats. You look at air yards per game, he's got 58.1. So that's in the green on his player page for sure. I mean, he's in there, and it's just a little bit too boom or bust for me. But I mean, he scored every other week since the bye, so that's definitely worth noting.
The tweet I was going to mention is from JJ Zacharyson from NumberFire, who has been on the podcast with us before. This is from last night. Quote, Anthony Miller has 12 targets of 15 plus air yards over the last 4 weeks. That is 6th most in the league. So it's interesting. It's a guy I wouldn't rank him super duper high. on a free agent situation. I think I've got him. I think I have him first.
Think you got him first?
I think I got him first ahead of Reynolds and Doxson.
You might have talked me into knocking him into my top three. I was going to go Reynolds, Doxson, Moncrief. Again, we know what Moncrief is, and that's pretty boomer bust. But the air yards, I mean, average depth of target for Miller is 11.3 yards. That's pretty good. I guess for me, it's going to kind of – this is one of those situations where I'm going to look at my matchup. I'm going to look at the projection ahead of time, and I'm going to decide based on that. If I'm projected to win by, let's say, 5 or less points, and it's going to be a really tight matchup, I might go with Moncrief and get – what seems to be a little bit safer target volume that might not be as big play dependent. If I'm down by, if I'm projected to lose by 15, 20 points and I need some big guys to come up, then I might be more likely to lean Miller because I see there's big game potential there, but he could also give you a 2 for 35 game. So
okay,
that's why.
All right. Brandon Marshall though.
Yeah, it's a line item.
Yeah. It's a line item is right. All right. Drop people. Cup, obviously. Jordy, ready? Pull the plug.
Yeah, I mean, that offense is just so horrible that there maybe isn't room for anybody.
Randall Cobb, you pulling the plug? You could.
You could. Yeah, you could. If you're anything deeper than 12, it would be tough to do so because he'll come. I would assume he'll come back eventually, but I don't know. They're starting that whole Packers situation. I'm not entirely sure what's going on there with him. The health isn't great. He didn't participate on practice Monday, so he's got a short week. So you're looking at probably not starting him against Seattle on Thursday anyway. Then he's got at Minnesota the next week. So it's a very tough two-game stretch if he's even back. I mean, the fantasy playoffs is okay. He's got Atlanta, Chicago, the Jets. So there are numbers there. And he, you know, we saw week one, basically, that he can still have a good game, but then he hasn't since then. So, yeah, he can make the drop list for me.
All right. I would also not yell at you if you dropped either Williams on the Chargers.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I know Mike Williams scored 2 touchdowns touchdown in week 7 and week 9. He's literally got 10 targets in his last 4 games. He hasn't gone over 4 targets in 6 or 7 weeks. Just
If I look at that, I see it as a buy low. Well, it might be a little tougher to buy low on Keenan Allen after he found the end zone this past week. But, I mean, Keenan Allen should be treated like one of the top receivers, I would think.
Yep. Tight ends. Last week we talked about Doyle and Ebron just killed him. So Ebron was on the field for, what, 17 snaps, I think?
Mm-hmm. Three of those were touchdowns.
We talked about this yesterday, Derek, and Tim and me, that – it sounds weird to think that you could sell high on Ebron, but I think he's literally the number 3 or 4 fantasy tight end for the season.
Mm-hmm. He had a nice 28 PPR points on my bench this week.
But he barely played the last 2 weeks since Doyle's been back. His snap count has been 17 and 21. So he gets a running touchdown, and then he goes 3 for 69 and 2. I mean, anyone who thinks he's an elite tight end, go trade him to that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he was a guy that had draft pedigree at one point, but never got it together with Detroit, had some drop problems. They eventually decided to move on with him, and now he's got almost twice as many touchdowns as he had in any other season, and he's well on his way to career highs and other marks. Now, when you're looking for a volume move the chains guy, it's definitely still Doyle. I mean, there's no question there, yeah. But I mean, maybe Ebron's not on the drop list, I guess.
No,
sell high if you can.
Tight end is so bad that I think Ebron's a top 12. But if someone thinks he's really top 3 or 4 and saying, oh, I really need a tight end for my playoff push, let me trade something good for Eric Ebron. Yeah, if you have Eric Ebron, go for it.
Yeah, if you're in an office league with someone that's maybe just looking at the box scores and you describe that perfect situation that's like, oh man, I just don't have a tight end and I'm worried about what's going to happen with Gronk, or I've been plugging and playing nonsense all year, but the rest of my team's good. Yeah, see what you can get for him. That would be an excellent sell high candidate.
All right, we also talked about Chris Herndon, who got another 3 for 34. Johnny Smith scored on the on that little, it was a goal line play basically. Mm-hmm. From Mariota. Ricky Seals-Jones. I was excited about him early in the season, and I lost hope. But let me look at his numbers real quick. I know he had 9 targets, like you mentioned. So yeah, he's on the field a lot. In the last two games, the two Leftwich games, he's on the field 48 and 46 snaps. Last week, 5 for 51. It's again just because the position is such a dumpster fire, he's in consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's fair. He's still behind Fitzgerald and probably Kirk. Kirk had 6 targets this week. That's going to be a little back and forth all year. And then there's the quarterback play that's concerning, of course. So,
okay,
he's an option. He's an option given there's 6 teams on bye and the position has just got awful.
So the other guy I want to mention is Gerald Everett from the Rams. He doesn't play a ton. The thing is, he caught a touchdown this week. He and Higbee plays more than him, but Higbee plays to block. Everett plays to catch passes. Now, he's only on the field for, less than 20 snaps a game most of the time. But I wonder, looking at the week 7 and 8 when Kupp was out, he still only got 1 catch each. I don't know. I'm reaching, maybe because I drafted him in some deep leagues before the year. But mm-hmm. with Kupp out, I wonder if things maybe change a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that I'd be looking to add Josh Reynolds. If I'm looking to fill flex spots, I'm looking to add Josh Reynolds before I roll the dice on one of these tight ends. But if you need a plug and play tight end, this could be worth rolling the dice. I mean, again, that could be another matchup situation like I described earlier. You need to make sure you get 6 points from your tight end, then maybe go with someone like Herndon. But if you're looking for a better chance of maybe getting like 15 points, and I mean, the Chiefs are 23rd against tight ends, and then you have a bye after that, so you can always dump him after that if he doesn't do anything against the Chiefs. So maybe try the good matchup, see if they restructure things a little bit to, you know, help accommodate the loss of Kupp more. I see where you're coming from here. That's actually not a bad suggestion, and I could see going with that.
I mean, it's a reach, but there's logic there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you two guys under 20% ownership, Herndon and Seals Jones. Well, no, the Jets are off. Mm-hmm. So that's it. For the rest of the season, you're not picking for the rest of the season. You're streaming tight ends. I'm withdrawing the question, counselor. Forget that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair.
All right. Streaming defenses, there's not a lot here. The Cardinals against the Rams. The Cardinals are a 4-point favorite, last I checked. The over-under is somewhere 40.5, 41, whatever it is.
It's against the Raiders, not the Rams, I think. So
the Raiders, thank you.
That makes quite the difference.
It's quite a difference. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah. You want to talk about my boxes being checked? I mean, they're the home team, over under 41. Raiders are pathetic. Cardinals would seem to be the chalk defense call this week. I think DFS will price them appropriately. And you might actually have to spend a dollar of fab money if you want to get them because, again, they're the chalk one that everybody's going to look at the schedule and be like, that one.
They're 18% owned, for those who are interested, on Yahoo. The other one, you said to check to see if anyone dropped the Ravens or the Texans during the bye. I'm looking at ownership percentages. The Ravens are 56% owned, so definitely worth looking. Texans are 75% owned, so a little higher, but both, yeah,
unlikely.
Worth looking. I agree with you.
Unlikely, but type the name in. If you're already there to pick up a defense, type the name in because it's worth a look. Because those are two that if you add them to your team this week, you don't have to worry about streaming defenses anymore because they're two of the better ones.
All right, the other thing, we've run into situations recently where I think you and I have talked before about you look and you think, oh, this is the perfect matchup against quarterback X, and then the game gets played and it doesn't work. You go, oh, right, the defense is terrible. That's why it didn't work. That happened with the Raiders against Nick Mullins. That happened with the Jets against Matt Barkley. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's logical. Sometimes it's just it doesn't always work, right? I still think that the thought process is generally okay. Now, similar, if Lamar Jackson or RG3 started for the Ravens, would the terrible Bengals defense be in consideration for you at 10% ownership?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got this circular logic right here because way at the beginning of the show, we're just like, okay, got to pick up Lamar Jackson. He's one of the top quarterbacks this week. Yep, and then we come back down to the bottom. There's a reason the Bengals were the last one mentioned on my list. But if you miss Fab this week, you get too excited about college basketball tonight and you miss Fab this week and you have to pick one up for nothing tomorrow morning, the Bengals might be one option potentially worth looking at. I mean, they were so bad this past week, so chances are people in your league are going to be like, nope, not touching that situation.
Yeah.
No thanks. Done. So that's one, and maybe another one that I've seen thrown around a few times. You could talk about the Colts just because they're home, but they get Marcus Mariota. And I think Marcus Mariota's trajectory is heading upwards as opposed to downwards as he continues to get healthier. So, I mean, I've thought about putting the Colts on my list, but I thought about the Marcus Mariota discussion we're going to have and decided to leave them off. But, I mean, Colts or Bengals are both just kind of garbage streamers if you really need one this week.
And I think you mentioned that logic about Lamar Jackson. Look, I think Lamar Jackson's there's a lot of promise because of his running ability. But for me, I think Lamar Jackson's likely game is, let's say, if I had to throw an imaginary stat line out.
Okay.
He throws for 175 yards with a touchdown. He runs for 50 yards with a touchdown. Great. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Heck yeah, he might throw a pick six. That's okay me as a Lamar Jackson owner. That's baked into the process.
Yeah, most leagues aren't deducting for that. I mean, there's a decent enough chance here given just, you know, the situation that Lamar Jackson gets 20 fantasy points, the Bengals defense get 20 fantasy points, and we're all right throughout the
show.
Totally
possible, yes.
It could definitely happen because, you know, 99.9% of leagues aren't deducting you for a pick six or a fumble, or maybe he doesn't, you know, he's trying to stand in the pocket where he's uncomfortable. He gets kind of blindsided, fumbles the football. That's very possible too. And, you know, maybe he has to make up for it by throwing a little more in the second half or, and then you got, you know, I would say at least a 5-6 point floor just from rushing if he plays the entire game. So, it's entirely plausible. I'm glad you mentioned that both situations occur and both are productive.
All right, Jake, what else you got going on?
Mentioned a big night for college basketball. We're trying new things every day. We're winning money here. Our guys in our Discord are enjoying themselves. I mean, this is a sport where, I mean, it has sharks just like any other big sport. But this is a game that can be beat, whether you're using the numbers or the or just the insight that we provide here. So definitely worth, you know, we talk about the NFL player pages. We've always got cool new stuff going on rotowire.com. But as good a time as any to go to rotowire.com/pod, get your free 10-day trial. I mean, we have guys that, you know, don't know nothing about the names on college basketball and are winning money using the optimizers and using some of our cheat sheets. So definitely worth a look. And, yeah, that's been the biggest thing. So outside of taking a couple hours to sit down, work on this pod. It was actually very relaxing to get a slight break from college basketball, but I'm going to be right back at it after this and hopefully helping our guys continue to win some cash.
I know one name, Zion Williamson. That's a name I know.
That's a name everybody knows, but yeah. RJ Barrett's going to get picked first in the draft. RJ Barrett's the one that's going to go before him. Everyone's just infatuated with Zion Williamson because of the tremendous physical attributes, and rightfully so. He's amazing to watch, man. They really did Army dirty by giving him Duke on Veterans Day.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, listeners to the podcast, get a free 10-day RotoWire trial at rotowire.com/pod. No credit card needed. That lets you check out nearly all the features on the site. Take a look now, rotowire.com/pod. Folks, if you like the podcast, leave a review and a rating wherever you're listening. We'd appreciate that. Thank you for listening to this edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Derek and I will be here on Thursday with our game-by-game preview of Week 11. I'm sure he will complain about the Packers, so be sure to tune in then. For Jake Letarski, I'm John Halpin. See you next time.